Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 35 of Genesis, and I'll begin with reading. Beg your pardon? What did I say, Genesis? You know why? Because I got Genesis written down right there, and I was reading it as I said that. Excuse me, you can eliminate that. We'll begin with chapter 35 of Isaiah. We'll be back in Genesis before we're done. Okay, I'm going to read it, first verse. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a vengeance. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons. Where each lay shall be grass and reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. Seems very short, but there's some good meat in here. The wilderness. And the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. That's not right. That word is crocus. It shall bloom as the crocus. You know what the first thing that blooms, the first flower in the spring? Crocus. What are we talking about here?
New life.
New life, first fruit coming. You can take that in Genesis 1:1, you know. Whenever it all comes, he said, let there be light. And what brings the stuff forth out of the ground? The light, the sun. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon. What does Lebanon mean? White or righteousness? It says, so righteousness of Lebanon, the glory of the righteousness that shall be given to it. It what? The solitary place, the desert. The desert, the dry place, is going to come to life. Hello? Just like the crocus blooming. Okay? What do you think the it really is? Huh? Yes, it is. It is us. You can just take that IT and put US in there. That's exactly what it is. The life's going to come and the righteousness has come to us. There's no place where God said he gave his righteousness to angels or anything else, but only to his sons. Okay? The excellency, or what? The word excellency should really be beauty. Okay? The beauty of Carmel. What does Carmel mean?
Garden.
Garden land. What garden do you think we might be talking about?
Mind.
How about Eden? The Garden of Eden, which is the mind of Christ. Okay? So the beauty of the garden land and Sharon. The word Sharon actually means to make something right. And that's what that mind does. When you get that mind in you, it's going to make you right.
Yeah.
You don't have any choice. It's just like Ezekiel said, God's going to take your heart out and give you a new heart. Well, if he gives you a new heart, you can't think with that old one no more, can you? That old brain, can you? Now you've got the mind of Christ, and you can't desire, you won't even desire to do any of those things that he said not to do. But you'll only be obedient to him. And it says, they shall see the glory of the Lord. Who is the they? That's us again. They, the same as the it. Okay? King James is good about putting those little words in there, pronouns and stuff in there that just don't work. They shall see the glory of the Lord. Now, what do you think that word Lord is?
Yahweh.
It's Yahweh, and that's Father. They show the glory of the Father. And the honor of our what? Elohim. That's the plurality. That's the many-membered body of Christ. They're going to see the excellency or the honor of our many-membered body of Christ. Okay. Who's going to get to see them? Who's going to receive this? It's the ones that walk it out. I'll show you on down in here. Verse 3, it says, strengthen ye the weak hands. Or literally it says, help the weak hands. What does hands represent?
Your works.
Your works. So help the ones that can't get the work done. Okay, we're here to help. I get in trouble all the time. I hear this saying, and it's pretty true. Most of the time it's true. No good deed goes unpunished. Try to help somebody, and you end up getting smacked in the head for it, you know. But I still do it. It's not going to stop me from doing what is right, even if I get smacked back, you know. I'm still going to do what's right. And confirm or what?
Confirm.
Or strengthen the feeble knees. And wonder what the knees would represent. Huh? Well, it's one of the strongest joints you got. It's a very strong, huh? It's stability. It can also represent humility, of being on your knees, you know, bowing before Him. But confirm the feeble knees or the weak knees, and say to them that are fearful of what?
Heart.
The mind. The ones that have fear in them. Doesn't the book say, fear not? And didn't he say in Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear? See? So fear had to come from someplace else. Where'd it come from? From the bottomless pit. Right? Come out of here, right? Out of the mind of humanity. It said, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God, your Elohim, will come, that's the plurality of God, will come with vengeance, even Elohim with a recompense. He will come and deliver you. Now, I got to keep saying this because I think you need to hear it and get it in your thinking process, that when recompense comes and judgment comes, it's not negative. It's not always negative. It can be positive just as much as it can be negative. And when He comes to deliver us, do you think He's going to come with a judgment that's negative or a recompense that's negative?
Not giving you life.
No, He's coming to give us... He already paid the price for our sin, did He not? Okay, then why are we looking at negative? See, we're still looking at that duality. We got to get on the other side of the fence and say, look, this is the side of life, not death. Whenever God judges us, He said, Father, forgive them. That's a positive thing. We're not guilty, right? He even says in the New Testament, we're not guilty. So we've got to keep looking at that and realize, I don't care what you do, it's still not guilty in God's eyes. Do I like it? No. I don't like what things people do, and I'm sure you don't either. But I still have to leave it alone because it's not my place. I can't judge. The only thing I can say, and just like Stephen did after Jesus died, they took Stephen and stoned him to death. And what did he say? He said, don't lay this sin to their charge. That's the same heart that was the same mind that was speaking out of Jesus on the cross. The same thing. Forgive them. Don't charge this to them. And we have to do the same thing. And that's pretty difficult at times, isn't it? But does it mean we don't have to do it? We can't put that on the back burner. That's got to be up front. We've got to learn to deal with whatever things God gives us, whatever we got to do, we've got to forgive.
Dave, in this instance, mm-hmm. God will
Elohim, yep.
Both places. Mm-hmm. Could that possibly be, since it's plural, and the Son's bringing forth the kingdom message?
Sure it is. Because God the Father isn't going to do anything. See,
right.
He's finished. You know, it's up to the sons to do the work. And remember, like Jesus said to the disciples when they asked him about what he did, he said, "Why are you worried about me doing such great works? You're going to do greater works than me."
Right.
Jesus only came for one thing: the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which was the tithe, the first fruit. He just come for that. And now you guys are going to do the rest of it. See? So it's our place to show the world, not try to preach to the world, but to show them with our lifestyle that this is the way you walk. This is what it is. This is what it's about. No condemnation, no guilt. And people say, well, if this message means that is true, then I can just do anything I want to. If that's what you want to do, you go ahead. And all it's doing is it's exposing you that you don't love God. Because the book says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Doesn't it? So if I go off and go crazy just because I know there's no hell, like the church teaches, does that shows that I don't love God, doesn't it? Doesn't it? If my pleasure comes before God's way of doing things, then I don't love God.
Right.
Simple as that. I don't have to. I didn't write that. See, that's in the book. So I got to do what he says. It's because the law that was written on a piece of paper or a skin or whatever they wrote on the first one, and everyone since then, not one of those is as strong as the love of God. The love of God is more binding than any law and every law that's been written by humanity. Because nobody will keep track of them. Nobody will keep those laws, will they? We've got so many laws in this country that lawyers can't even figure them out.
That's right.
And has it changed anybody? Has it made crime quit? And they don't care because they're making money on it. It's always about making money. They know they can't change anybody, but they don't care. But they'll lie to you and tell you, well, if we put another law in there, well, if the other 9,000 laws didn't do anything, what's one more going to do? It's stupidity. Kind of like that insanity thing, isn't it? Just pass another law. The others didn't make any difference, but maybe this one will. Whew.
That's right.
So the sons are ministering forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
To everybody in their actions, no matter what happens to them, no matter what anybody does, says, acts, anything to them,
still love them.
Yeah,
still love them. But there's a time when we'll walk away from them if they want to be hard-headed. You know, and Paul said, if they're ignorant, let them be ignorant. You know, there's a time if after a certain point you just walk away. He didn't say to stand there and wear yourself out doing the same thing over and over and over and over. If they don't want to hear you, shake the dust off your feet and go. You know, there's other fish to fry, enter.
Yeah.
Just go on. But he'll come and deliver you. Okay? He's telling you first fruit. Well, you don't got to worry because God already said he's going to do it. He's going to come and do it, and it's not in your time when you want it. It's when he wants it.
Yeah.
Okay? Everything's in his time. It says every man in his own order, in God's order, not ours. So just let it go. We all want our children to walk into these truths, but you know what? We couldn't walk in when we were children, could we? So let them take their walk. I mean, as hard as it seems, let them take it. If that's what's got to be, let them take it. Yeah. But it's going to bring them back. If I get between God and my children, all I'm going to do is catch a lot of flack that I don't need and they need. Well, let them have it. I mean, it's hard, but let them have it. That's the only way they're going to grow. Did you grow without going through hardships? Then don't take it away from your children. I don't say let them go crazy, but I mean, you know, when they're kids, but you know, you've got to let them experience things and make mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. And there's judgment in there, so be it. That's what it's got to be. But it'll bring them back around. If you train them up in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Just do what's right, and when they get out, if they take off and go the wrong way like the prodigal son, he came back, didn't he? Don't worry about it. They'll come back. If they're supposed to be back, they'll come back. He's in control. Then the eyes of the blind shall... Oh, that's good. Okay. When he does this, he said, then the eyes will be opened. Right? Until we go through those hardships and until God chooses to come and deliver us, we're not going to be able to see anything. But when he comes to do what he does, then our eyes will be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. We'll be able to hear whatever God's saying plainly. See? The tabernacle of God is within man, right?
Yes.
It's not the flesh, it's the spirit inside. See, so God really don't live in our flesh. He lives in our spirit, which is inside of our flesh. So, no big deal. He's there. It's okay. And verse 6 says, then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Lame, what does that speak of? Can't walk properly, can't live properly. Now, a lame man, can you blame him if he's got a bad leg or foot or something? And that's what God is saying to us. Hey, I put everybody in here, and everybody's got to walk through hard things. And if their lifestyle's messed up, didn't he say it? Wait a minute, in Corinthians, didn't he say he put the whole creation into subjection, not willingly? Didn't he? But he put them subjected to all with hope that the whole creation would be made subject to the liberty of God, or something to that effect. In Romans 8, is that 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Romans 8. 20, start 21, somewhere in there, yeah. But he said he's going to take the whole thing, but we're all subjected to vanity, not willingly. That's these lame ones right here. And he'll leap as a hart or as a deer. Deer can jump pretty good. You ever watch them? They look like they're floating. They jump so well. And the tongue of the, not the dumb, but the speechless shall shout, not sing, but shout. Because in the wilderness, and that's us, and that's what's going to make the shouting. The dumb man in me is going to open up and speak. The blind man, the man whose lifestyle's messed up, in that wilderness shall water break out. What's the water?
Word.
It's the Word. The Word's going to break out. That don't make anybody shout. I don't care who you are. It will. And streams in the desert. Well, what is a stream? See, it's still the Word of God, isn't it? So all this is going to break forth to us in the wilderness. We're the wilderness without knowing the anointing we have. It's there, we just don't know it. And when God awakes us and brings that seed, puts his anointing on it, his little bit of moisture on us, the seed comes forth. And guess what? Then we'll break forth and shout. And the parched ground shall become a pool. What was the parched ground? That was us again. Shall become a pool. You know what that word is? It literally means a reservoir for water. What are you?
Well.
You're a well of water, a wellspring of water to spring up. That's the Word of God. So you're going to be the vessel that holds the water, kind of like the six water pots that Jesus had at the wedding there in John chapter 2. See? Fill them to the brim. And that's what we're going to be. We're going to be reservoirs of the Word. In the habitation of dragons. It's funny, I can't help it. I'm thinking something. In the habitation of dragons. That word dragon means a sea monster or a land or sea monster. Well, the only monster in my land is my carnal mind. See, it's my carnal mind. And it's right in that habitation. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the mind of Christ, there were two trees, the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life, and there's a land, there's a monster there, there's a dragon there, a land monster, right there, along with the Christ. See that thing right there, both of them. Where each lay, it says, where each lay shall be grass. Grass speaks of what?
Life.
Life, greenness, or life. With reeds. You know what reeds do? If you get life, guess what? It'll stand up. Reeds stand upright. And rushes. You know what rushes do? They absorb. So they're going to stand up and absorb the water. Can you see that one? Oh, goodness. And a highway, or literally a higher way, shall be there. That's tabernacles. It's not Passover, it's not Pentecost, but it's tabernacles, the higher way. The star covenant, not the dust, not the sand on the earth, but the star covenant in the heavenlies, okay, shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it. See, it's impossible, because flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom. It's not going into the Holy of Holies, is it? It's only about the ones that God has called. So we can want and desire all we want, but if God doesn't desire us to be there, we're not going to get there until it's his timing. It's all about him, isn't it? And this is about first fruit. It's not about everybody right now. It's about first fruit. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err there. Let me read what the NAS says in that. Okay, 35.
The NAS?
Yeah, the NAS. I'm going to read it. It says it pretty good. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it, no lion will be there, nor any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. That's a promise.
Amen.
That's a promise. You're going to walk there no matter what. That's just the way it is. I think it said it really well in that. But the redeemed shall. If we're not doing it the right way, we're not going to walk on that highway, are we? And that's an analogy, you know. And verse 10 says, and the ransomed, that's the delivered, okay, the rescued of the Lord, of Yahweh, of the Father, shall return and come to Zion. What is Zion? That's the highest mountain in Jerusalem. Ophel, Moriah, Zion, that's the third realm. It's just like the dust, the sand, the stars, first, second, third day. It's the fullness of the mind of Christ. With their songs and what? Everlasting or age-abiding joy upon their what?
Mind.
Upon their heads or their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the mind of Christ. It'll always be joyful in the mind of Christ. And they shall what? Not obtain, but they shall take hold of joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. When you realize that God is... We're not talking about something that's going to happen in the future. When do we exist? If you can live in the now, and we're talking about the now, he said, when you get a hold of this, guess what? There's no more sighing, there's no more crying, there's no more tears, there's no more fear because of this mind of Christ. So when people look at you, well, how come you're not upset about this? What's to be upset about?
Because you're walking in jubilee.
See? If you're walking in this, you don't have those reactions to those emotions. Only thing emotions will do will deceive you. That's all they are, because that's part of the soulish realm. You know, touch, taste, smell, hear, feel, you know, all those emotions. All those things come up, and all they do is they take your mind away from the truth.
It's the restoration.
It's the restoration of all things. Exactly. So what do we got to worry about? Absolutely nothing. What are we to be anxious for?
Nothing.
See how simple it is. It's really so simple. He said a child could understand it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But yet the lawyers in the church realm have made it so complicated that nobody can understand it because it doesn't make any sense. I said for years, God makes sense and people don't. God makes sense in everything he does. I've ministered to people all over this country and other countries, and they'll talk to me and they'll say, well, this makes sense. I said, duh. God makes sense and people don't. They twist it and pervert it to make some kind of doctrine out of it. I'm not trying to make a doctrine. I'm just trying to tell the truth.
Yes.
I've had people say, well, I'm in the sonship. Where are you at? And I said, I'm in God. I don't care about the labels of kingdom and sonship and all these labels. You know, they put on, what was the one, the big Pentecost movement back in the early 1900s. What do they call that? Azusa Street, you know, the big awakening and everything. They put labels on these things. And as long as we keep looking back to those things that happened past right now, there's no future in the past, is there? We keep looking back there. We can't go anywhere as long as we're looking back. We're going to run into a wall somewhere.
It's a natural thing for man to do that because in the Word they always put a landmark.
Right. The natural man always put a landmark to look back to, but we shouldn't be looking back.
Turn to a pillar of salt, that's useless.
No, nothing good for the kingdom, you know. We got to realize that it's from this point on, always looking ahead. See, not looking back, but always looking ahead.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And it sounds so simple, they say, well, there's got to be a hook somewhere. Well, if you want a hook, you can have one, but, you know. If you want a Saul to rule over you, go right ahead. Right? I'm not going to rule over anybody. Give you the truth, and you got to deal with it yourself. Any questions, comments, rocks to throw, we receive them all.